I have a lot of thoughts about the movie Speed.
Starring Keanu Reeves.
Starring Keanu Reeves, yes.
It's episode 2 of the Keanu cast, season 2, Culture Time, and today we're going to be talking about Speed.
Speed, the movie Speed, starring Keanu Reeves. What would you say in one word is the theme of the movie?
I might say speed.
I think you're dead on with that.
I might say speed.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to this episode. I am very excited to have you all here with us because the Speed, which I'm sure this was the tagline of it, is a hell of a ride as a movie.
Speaking of title sequences, did you catch how low budget the Speed title sequence is?
I caught how interminable it was.
So long.
A lot of this movie did not feel dated, but yeah, the 20-minute title sequence is god-awful.
So we have a format for the podcast that we try to stick to, even though we tend to jump around a little bit. Is it worth going into the plot of the film?
Well, now, in our last episode, we discussed the movie Point Break, and
yes,
you became increasingly agitated, and I would even say hostile, as we attempted to summarize the plot, because there was a lot of it.
There's a lot of me telling Brian, please stop talking about the plot.
I feel like you won't get so upset about Speed, because there's really not a lot of plot. What would you say happens in the movie Speed?
You know, everyone says it's about a bus that has to go 50 miles an hour or over 50 miles an hour or it will explode. But the movie actually takes place in three different parts. There's like it's like a three-part structure to this film. And
yeah,
the bus part is just the middle part.
I forgot. I had seen the movie, you know, whenever it was out or since then, probably. I had forgotten everything that doesn't happen on the bus.
Yeah. There's like a whole, there's an act before the bus and there's an act after the bus. And the bus is just act two.
So Keanu plays, as he often does, a square-jawed, all-American law enforcement agent whose name...
Jack Traven. Better or worse than Johnny Utah?
Less stupid, but just as dumb, I would say.
He has such great character names that you don't appreciate that.
And he's a bomb squad guy in L.A.
Yeah, he's like a SWAT guy in L.A., yes.
Yeah, so he and his partner, Jeff Daniels, they're the crazy guys, man. You just send them in when no one else is going to be so crazy.
They're the loose cannons.
They're the loose cannons, but they get results.
Right.
So they, in the first set piece, there's this whole scene where there's a mad, crazy bomber, beautifully played by Dennis Hopper, an
very
excellent
good
villainous role.
Very good.
The mad bomber has rigged an elevator to blow, and they thwart him.
Right. They've got to get in there and get those passengers out.
Yeah.
And Speed is also about 25 years old at this point, 26, I think. It was released in 1992.
Yeah, it holds up pretty well.
It holds up pretty well. And that scene is still incredibly like tense and action-packed.
I want to come back to that note because
okay,
it is spot on. So then, in order to test Keanu, Dennis Hopper, the evil villain bomber, arranges it so that he has to get on a city bus that Dennis Hopper has rigged so that once it goes above 50 miles an hour, a bomb is armed, and if it should drop below 50 miles an hour or anyone should get off, the bus will explode.
Which is a phenomenal plot device,
it's
by the way.
It's a phenomenal plot
it
device.
It is phenomenal.
I almost feel like the movie would have been purer had it, like, if the opening scene is Keanu stepping on the bus and the entire thing takes place on the bus. You could have done that.
No. I actually love the three-part sequence because you think that it's over, and it's not over. There's still, like, one more, you know, crazy action tense sequence that we have to get to.
All right, so...
So you have a lot of notes.
I have a lot of notes.
I only have like, a handful of notes, even though I love the movie.
So I will say that I was... I had seen Speed, I'm sure, when it came out, or I remember seeing it on TV. I was vaguely aware of the movie. I didn't think it was dumb or bad, but I was blown away by how good it was. This is one of the best action movies ever. And
yes!
one of the reasons that
it's
so good.
Yeah.
Because what the movie ratchets up the tension constantly. There were at least 10 scenes when I said, "Oh shit!" because of something that just happened, right? So he's on the bus. First of all, the plot device of the bus going over 50 and it can't go below is great.
It's
right?
fantastic.
So there's all these scenes where he has to get on it. You have this constant visual, like he just keeps showing the speedometer, and you're like, oh my God, no, the needle's going down! The fact that it is imbued with so much drama. Then the driver of the bus gets shot.
Yes.
By this caveman who's driving the bus for some reason, gets shot by a low-level hoodlum who's unrelated to the plot. He just happened to be on the bus. He thought they were coming after him. He accidentally shoots the driver.
Right.
So then Sandra Bullock
has to.
Who is darling in this movie,
God.
Right? You don't think of Sandra Bullock as being the cutest, sassiest thing.
This is the movie that introduced America to Sandra Bullock.
Yeah, she kills it.
And she kills it. But this is what is brilliant about this film is that there's all these little twists and turns that it takes in the overall plot that not only ratchet up the tension, but contrive to bring Sandy and Jack.
Forge the emotional
bond. Yeah, forge the emotional bond. So like, yes, he shoots the bus driver, which means that the bus driver can't drive the bus anymore. So it's got to be Sandra Bullock who has had her driver's license revoked for speeding.
Love that touch.
Yes.
So then they leave the interstate. She's driving through the city.
Yes.
And you're just clutching your seat because, oh my God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
There's the shot. There's at one point she hits a baby carriage.
Oh my God.
She flips her shit out. It turns out it was full of cans.
It's full of cans.
And Cal's like, oh, don't worry, Annie. It's full of cans. So then they're on. The cops get them back. The cops are so unhelpful. All the cops do is shout and holler. They don't do anything good.
This is one of my beefs with this film is that they should have gotten a police escort like right away.
Yeah, they don't get that until the end.
Yeah, they don't get that until it's almost way too late.
The cops steer them onto the interstate. They steer them onto, for some reason, an unused interstate. Mm-hmm. There's a chunk of it missing. The most ridiculous part of the movie.
Right. It's probably one of the most infamous parts of the film is that the bus has to jump the gap. Yeah.
There's one scene where they have to make this incredibly sharp turn, and Sandra Bullock says, we're gonna tip over. And Keanu goes, no, we're fine. And he goes, oh, we're going to tip over.
Yeah.
Now all the passengers have to go to one side of the bus. There's a scene later when they shoot out. Oh, they have to go over the things. The tires are flat. Then Keanu gets off the bus. He's hanging underneath it. The cable snaps. Then he has to puncture the gas tank with a screwdriver to hang on. And you can't believe it. Every 5 minutes, some new terrible thing happens, and you're on the edge of your seat.
I wish you guys could be here and watch.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
You should see how much space Brian is taking up talking about this. But yeah, that's what makes this so, so good is every single wrench that they throw into the plot makes it even better.
And it never feels cheap.
No, it doesn't. It all feels very authentic in the service of the story, which is that the bus has to keep going 50 miles an hour. And you would think that a bus just making a turn shouldn't be this suspenseful,
but it's so suspenseful. So much more suspenseful than like a shoot 'em up would be in a more standard action movie.
Before you even get on the bus, you've gone through this entire intense elevator sequence, which already kind of leaves you a little exhausted, right?
Including a vicious screwdriver murder. Like, it's not a violent movie at all, but Dennis Hopper kills a man with a screwdriver
to
the ear.
Yeah, just like in the first, 15 seconds.
It's awful.
So by the time we get on the bus, we're already a little like, okay, like your heart rate's just coming down, and then they go and they start ratcheting it back up.
Oh, here's the thing, though. Every character in the movie, first of all, they're all very chatty on the bus. They all know the names. Keanu knows one bus driver. Sandra Bullock knows the other bus driver. I have ridden city buses many times. Nobody knows the bus driver. Nobody talks to their seatmate. None of this stuff happens.
Well, this was 1992, so maybe
it was different times.
But no, okay, so this is my point with overall Keanu films, and that Keanu often plays everyday guys stuck in extraordinary situations.
Yeah,
and this
but
is
not
a,
everyday guys.
Not like, every like a peg above everyday guys.
Yeah, he has
guys.
This like ability to react with great competence and calm to crazy shit that is happening.
Yes, and competence is actually a great word. Is that he's so competent in this film?
I feel this is Keanu's most heroic role. He is just a bucket of heroism in this role.
Well, he's not trying to be a hero, though. He's just very competent. He's just trying to do his job.
No, he gets on the bus.
And that's not a hero, though.
Of course it is. He gets on a bus that's got a bomb on it to save these strangers.
Okay. I guess
it's
a hero.
And then he gets off, and he gets back on again.
He's just a solid dude.
This is a hero Keanu at its finest.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll give you that. I never thought about it as hero Keanu.
And his hair.
Okay, his
very
hair.
Very heroic.
His hair is very no-nonsense. His hair is very no-nonsense. It is very much a guy who does not have time to think about his hair because he's...
gun hair.
Yeah, he's too busy cleaning his guns.
So what did you feel was the most Keanu moment of the film?
Oh, without a doubt, the most Keanu of this film is the scene between him and the guy who pulls a gun on him before he shoots the bus driver, where Keanu has just gotten on this bus. And I don't know if he thinks that the guy is immigration or if he's just a cop who's there to arrest him.
Yeah, this guy did something bad.
This guy did something bad.
He's got a gun.
He thinks
they're there for him.
And Keanu is trying to talk him down, and he pulls out his badge. And I can't even say this without laughing. But he's like, I'm going to put my badge away. We're just two cool guys.
I'm not a cop right now, man.
Let's not do this. That is the best Keanu moment.
That is the epitome of the Keanu Reeves acting method in that scene, for sure. You're totally right.
It's so good.
There's also a movie at the very...
What is yours?
Well, I don't know if this is the most Keanu moment, but there is a very, like, so cliched and stupid that it almost works, is at the end, Keanu, we have discovered, understands that there's these lights jutting down in the subway tunnel. Oh. Dennis Hopper doesn't realize it, so he beats Dennis Hopper by pushing him up so that he is brutally decapitated, and he gets back down, and Sandra Bullock says, "What happened to Dennis Hopper?" And he said, "I don't know. I guess he lost his head." And it's so dumb. But it's very, like, 90s action movie catchphrase tagline.
Yeah, it's very, very good.
What is the most I think you're right. That is the most Keanu moment of the film.
Yeah.
Because his not particularly good acting really, like, his physical presence is when he's just doing something, he's very watchable. But in that moment when he's, I'm not a cop right now, man, it's so Keanu.
I know, but it totally works. I don't want to say it's bad acting, though.
Oh, it's bad acting.
You think it's bad acting?
You can say it.
All right, Karen, if you're listening, I'm sorry that Brian thinks
it's bad. We loved your movie. We're doing a whole podcast about you. He knows. He understands his
But strengths. Yeah, it's like the essence of Keanu, if we're getting to it, which is this, like, I don't know if we said this during Point Break or not, but he's very unflappable, and that scene illustrates his, like, competence and unflappability in terms of, I know I'm on a bus with a bomb and this dude's pointing a gun at me, but he's like, we're just cool guys.
We're just two cool guys.
Yeah.
So we have discussed before, and we'll do so again, when Keanu is high emoting, he is not at his best as an actor. There's a scene when Jeff Daniels is killed. Oh, spoiler alert. This is spoiler alert for a 25-year-old movie. Jeff Daniels is blown up.
He dies.
And, can I say, there's a shot. It didn't need to happen, but there's this gut-wrenching reaction shot. They go into the house where Dennis Hopper has led them.
Yes.
They go in. A bomb is armed. Yeah. We've already established Jeff Daniels as the bomb expert. You see on his face, he 100% knows that's it.
Yes.
It's the end of the line.
Yeah.
And they do this kind of long reaction shot. There's no dialogue. He knows they're going to die, and the people behind him don't. It's brutal.
But it makes it, this is what makes Speed such a good action film, is that scene is probably about 10 seconds long, and you see Jeff Daniels flinch a little bit because he realizes what is happening, and he knows he's going to die.
It's
and
a
you
great
see,
little piece of acting.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
And then Keanu learns of his partner's death, and he does this, like, kind of, he doesn't take it too far. He's kind of like, the rage and the anger, and he's kind of beating his fist on the bus. But it's not so bad. And Sandra Bullock kills in that scene because
she's wonderful.
Like, he's become this rock for all these scared passengers.
Right.
He's wigging out. She realizes that, like, you can't wig out. We need you to be calm and Keanu-like.
Yeah.
And she kind of pats his arm, and it's a good scene.
It establishes that emotional connection because the one time that he starts to break down, is when she rises, right? It's like when she comes in and she's able to, like, calm everybody down.
Are there other good Sandra Bullock movies? Like, she's in lots of things.
Oh, there's so many good Sandra Bullock movies.
I don't think poorly of her.
Two
I was
weeks
surprised
notice.
At how much I enjoyed her in this movie.
Have you watched anything with Sandy B?
I must have.
One
Demolition Man, The Net.
I've watched The Net. So the one thing that Pyle, my sister, wanted to make sure I pointed out was that Sandra Bullock came in with Speed and stole the crown of America's Sweetheart just right out from under Julia Roberts.
Boom, Julia Roberts.
Like Julia Roberts had it for so long with Pretty Woman, and Sandra Bullock just came in and just, like, snatched that
she
title
just wanted
away.
It more. Did you call her Sandy B? Is that a thing?
No, I think it's just a thing I do. She's fantastic. She was in 2 weeks' Notice. She's in The Lake House with Keanu Reeves, which is also great.
Another thing I loved about this movie is the, and this is not something I normally geek out about, but, like, the cinematography they have taken the visual device of a city bus and they use it so well. There's all these really great wide shots of, and you get a sense for how dangerous and unprecedented this is when you see this city bus just careening through streets or crossing lanes of traffic. It's a gigantic vehicle. It feels very unsafe and chaotic, and they do that with not just these like kind of modern day tight disorienting action shot cuts, but with these like big long wide shots of like, holy shit, a bus is just driving like crazy through the streets.
The only reason this makes so much better is because it happens in LA. Right? It has to happen in a city known for treacherous gridlock traffic.
Right, yes. And there's a bunch of great scenes where you think the bus is going to stop because there's traffic and Sandra Bullock has to go on the shoulder or smash a bunch of cars up. Yeah, it wouldn't work in New York at all.
Oh, I have a question.
Yeah, lay it on me.
Is this plausible?
No, is it plausible? Of course not.
You don't think it is?
No, it's ridiculous.
In terms of ranking the plausibility of Keanu Reeves action films, where does this stand? If we're going John Wick, Matrix, Point Break.
Well, Matrix is a science fiction film. Plausibility is irrelevant.
I haven't seen
John Wick.
We could be in the Matrix.
Point Break was very implausible.
Yeah, is this more or less implausible than a FBI agent infiltrating a gang of bank-robbing surfers?
Point Break, I feel like they weren't really going for plausibility. Point Break really embraced the action movie stylized aesthetic. Speed is shot and scripted and acted very realistic. It's a very grounded movie, but none of the events make any sense. Like when the bus jumps the 500-foot gap, that wouldn't happen. They would all plummet to their deaths.
I think that the kernel of this, a bomb on a bus that's armed when it's going above 50 miles an hour, is actually relatively plausible. I have no idea how bombs work, but I imagine it could work this way.
But Dennis Hopper, the mad bomber, articulating and planning this vast, complex plot just to get back at one cop who thwarted him, that doesn't make any sense.
You know, the other thing that makes this movie better than it needs to be is the Sandra Bullock, Keanu Reeves connection, right? You think it's
earned. It does not feel cheeseball.
It doesn't feel cheeseball. It's not shoehorned in there, even though it could very easily be shoehorned in there. It's just organic enough that you totally are like, yeah, these two definitely should go on a couple of dates.
Yeah, like they're bonding as two people might in this circumstance, because she's driving and he's kind of leading the operation.
Yeah.
And there's these flirty moments that don't feel out of place.
Oh, my favorite part is where she asks him why this is happening, right? She goes, why did we bomb his country or something? And Keanu says, no, you know, and he goes through kind of the history that they had. And he said, well, if I win, we play again tomorrow. And Sandy's very cute. And she goes, but I'm not available to drive tomorrow.
They have a genuine chemistry.
Yeah,
I'll give you that
good.
For sure. And one thing about, like, even though there's this, like, constant, like, beautifully done escalating tension, there are also these stretches of tedium where they're just on a bus that has to drive real fast. So the moments when they are, like, one thing that would be dumb and is always dumb when it happens is when people are, like, doing banter or flirting in the midst of life-threatening danger.
Right.
And they're not doing that here.
No.
They're doing it in those times when they have to just drive.
So, speaking of people on the bus.
People on the bus.
Who's your favorite third tier character? On the bus.
There are a lot of, I would say, well-drawn characters they don't spend a lot of screen time on any of these passengers. But there's a few that, as you said, that's a great question, because there's a few that are well-drawn enough in their short time to stand out. I don't think you're supposed to like Cameron from Ferris Bueller.
Right.
And my lovely wife, Wendy, the whole time. So there's a shtick in the movie whereby we realize later that Dennis Hopper has been observing them the whole time.
Right.
So when we realize that it's not the news choppers he's using, it's something else, when he's like, oh my God, I got it. Cameron is an agent. Cameron is there. And she was convinced that she had unlocked the clue. So there's Gigantor.
Ortiz.
As Keanu calls him, Ortiz. Who was your favorite character of the bus passengers?
I think it might be, it's a toss-up between Ortiz and the guy who waves a gun at Keanu, only because we get the greatest confrontation ever on a bus.
Also later, when Keanu unhandcuffs him to get him off to safety, he says, I didn't mean to shoot the guy. He hasn't said a word for 3 hours, and that's what he says.
Yeah.
There's Helen, the cowardly lady who plummets to her death because of her cowardice. There's a little bit of a, like, they sort of set her up as she's not as tough as the rest of them, and she dies
She's selfish.
Yeah, she was selfish.
She put herself above the group, and that's what happens.
So, listener, one of Dennis Hopper's Mad Bomber rules is that no one can get off the bus, and Keanu makes this clear to the passengers, but Helen, although... So these cops at one point drive up alongside them, and they're like,
"They know the rules.
Yeah, they know they're not supposed to get off." They're like, "Come on, lady, come on, get off." And so she is weak, but she was tempted by these dumbass cops that never help.
I would definitely blame part of that on the cops. They should have said, "Lady, stay on the bus."
Instead of reaching for her hand.
Well, they did a really nice job of filling the bus with, like, people that would ride city buses in L.A.
That's true, yes.
Just, like, largely brown demographic versus...
It's not all handsome young extras.
No, it's
waiting
not.
Waiting around for their chance. There is a nice moment, though. So I would say that Cameron from Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Ortiz are probably the extras who get the passengers who get the most screen time. It is established that they are annoyed with one another. Like, Cameron is kind of wigging out the whole time, and Ortiz is like, "Shut up, man, you're getting on my nerves." But at the end, Cameron is scared to jump to safety, and Ortiz reaches out for his hand to pull him across, and then he gives him a big hug. Even in that little moment, you see that they bonded.
They've all bonded. See, this is why the director did such a nice job. Like, there's lots of really nice directing choices that take this movie above just a regular action film.
Yeah, it's definitely a cut above. Almost no gunplay.
No, almost no gunplay. And just until, I think at the very end, Dennis Hopper kind of starts pointing a gun.
The whole end scene where they're on the subway and he has to save Sandra Bullock again, and Dennis Hopper's being kind of overtly maniacal, that all felt, you know, I didn't need it. It all felt kind of bland.
Honestly, I don't know why it's there.
I don't really know why it's
there. Yeah, I don't know why
it's there.
The
bus stuff is so good.
Yeah, I think it just is. It's an act three. It's just a denouement. Like, it doesn't need to be. They had to figure out a way to get Keanu and Dennis Hopper together to have, like, that ultimate confrontation, and that's how they decided to do it.
That's the most implausible part of the film, too, right? Like, they get off the bus. They leave the money for Dennis Hopper in a trash can. 1,000 cops are looking at the trash can from all angles. It doesn't occur to any of them that he might come from below. He randomly bumps into Sandra Bullock on the street where she's wandering in dazed.
Well, he goes looking for her.
Does he go looking for her?
He goes looking for her,
I thought he was just chilling out.
Yeah. What about the direction? The director. What's his name?
Jean de Bont.
De Bont?
Jean de Bont, Dutch filmmaker who also made the movie Twister, which I remember as being about the flying cow and Paxton, I think, and Helen Hunt.
That's also another big cult classic.
We're going to have to go back and watch that one.
But he also is the cinematographer for Die Hard. I think this movie has a lot of, like, Die Hard similarities.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's a cop who's just kind of going about his day and then gets pulled into, you know, crazy, extraordinary circumstances.
The escalating and the confined space. Like, all this action happening in this confined space.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Sure. But yes, that's part of what makes it so good is that everything's, like, very tight and narrow.
You know, they made a sequel to Speed.
I think they made a few.
Neither Keanu nor Sandra Bullock returned for the sequel.
You know, Sandra Bullock was in Speed 2.
No. Was she?
Yeah, she's in Speed 2 where they're on a boat, but it's with...
Jason Patrick. She came back for that?
She came back for Speed 2. I'm almost 100% sure she came back for Speed 2.
Let's not watch that. Although Jason Patrick normally doesn't do schlucky movies.
No, but Speed was such a huge hit that I'm sure he was like, fuck it, I'll do Speed 2. He's like, I'm not too good for Speed 2.
I'm glad Keanu was above it.
He is. See, he makes really good career choices.
He makes good choices, yeah. He's like, you know what? I already did Speed. I'm not going to do Speed 2, Speed on a boat.
Yeah.
Is it the same thing where if you go above 50 knots, the thing's going to blow up?
I think it's something like that. Like, the boat can't stop. And towards the end, there's a scene where the boat literally goes, like, flying into a harbor and just, like, crashes a lot of other boats.
Have you seen Speed 2?
I don't think I actually saw
it. You seem to know a lot about it.
Yeah, I might have watched it, honestly. I don't know. I remember there was a time where Jason Patrick was it. Like, he was in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to him.
So where does Speed fall for you in the Keanu canon?
I think that I would say until John Wick came on. Well, I would say until John Wick, Speed is Keanu Urtext.
I think Speed may be the most Keanu movie that is not The Matrix.
Oh, really? I think that speed establishes everything that we know about Keanu.
Yeah, he has advanced from his beginnings of his true Keanu self in Point Break to he's phoenix-like. He is unfurling his wings and assuming his full beplumed majesty.
He's becoming the kind of character that he's going to be playing for the better part of 10 years now, right? These competent action...
Yeah, this is his first fully Keanu role.
Yeah, but it's also his best Keanu role.
So one thing that Keanu Reeves can do that most people cannot pull off is that he can play a character like this with no depth, no flaws, and yet it doesn't seem stupid. And the character is still believable.
I think that the entire Bourne trilogy, the one starring Matt Damon, got the concept from Keanu Reeves films, because it's the same dynamic. They don't give Matt Damon a lot of lines in the Bourne trilogy, and he's a character that doesn't really have a lot of flaws, and they deliberately made him an amnesiac so he doesn't have any backstory or history. He's just like a vehicle.
So in order to write a role that is Keanu-like, you have to make the character an amnesiac.
Well, you kind of have to devoid him of like any kind of context except like the bare minimum and give him very little dialogue.
That's true. Although in the Bourne films, they engineered the character to inhabit that role. Keanu can just inhabit a role that is written that way, that in other hands, maybe even more skillful hands, would ring hollow.
But what is it, though, that invites us to like Keanu so much in this film?
He is us. He is...
What is it that he possesses? Like,
he is the dark mirror of the self into which we gaze. So in summary... I would highly recommend, listener, that you track down Speed. You are in for a white-knuckled thrill ride while watching it.
I agree. Did we decide where this is in the Keanu canon?
I think it's quite high. I think this is a top three Keanu movie. Both, not in terms of quality, although that too, but in terms of Keanu-ness.
All right. I think I can agree with that.
We may need to coin a noun for the ineffable, hard-to-articulate quality we were referring to here.
What do you mean?
The Keanu-ness of the movie.
The Keanu-ness. I'm trying to think, like, Keanu canon, this is... I think this is, like, number one Keanu canon.
Wow, number one. Above Point Break, above The Matrix.
Yes.
You keep talking about John Wick, above John Wick.
John Wick, I bet, for an entire generation, is their first exposure to Keanu Reeves. Mm. Because it's like literally 30 years after Speed.
It's kind of amazing that he's just making those kind of movies and he's not falling behind somehow.
No, he makes good choices.
We have enjoyed speaking with you about Keanu Reeves' movie Speed. Hemel, where can listeners find the podcast and where can they find you?
You can find the podcast on iTunes under Culture Time. It's also available on Audio Boom. And on SoundCloud, I'm on Twitter at HemJaberi. You're on Twitter at...
Brian_Minter. Please do tune in next week when we will be taking a sharp left turn from the action oeuvre of Keanu Reeves and discussing the very weird My Own Private Idaho.
The very weird and the very good My Own Private Idaho.
That remains to be seen.
Thanks, guys.